16, text 23. Yah shastra vidhim utsrija vartate kama karataha nasa siddhim avapnoti nasukham na param gatim. Yah shastra vidhim utsrija vartate kama karataha nasa siddhim avapnoti na sukham na param gatim. He who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination.
Some flies there?
Purport. As described before, the Shastra Vidhi, or the direction of the Shastra, is given to the different castes and orders of human society. Everyone is expected to follow these rules and regulations. If one does not follow them and acts whimsically according to his lust, greed and desire, then he never will be perfect in his life. In other words, a man may theoretically know all these things, but if he does not apply them in his own life, then he is to be known as the lowest of mankind. In the human form of life, a living entity is expected to be sane and to follow the regulations given for elevating his life to the highest platform. But if he does not follow them, then he degrades himself. But even if he follows the rules and regulations and moral principles and ultimately does not come to this stage of understanding the Supreme Lord, then all his knowledge becomes spoiled. And even if he accepts the existence of God, if he does not engage himself in the service of the Lord, his attempts are spoiled. Therefore, one should gradually raise himself to the platform of Krishna consciousness and devotional service. It is then and there that he can attain the highest perfectional stage, not otherwise. The word kama karataha is very significant. A person who knowingly violates the rules acts in lust. He knows that this is forbidden, but still he acts. This is called acting whimsically. He knows that this should be done, but still he does not do it, therefore he is called whimsical. Such persons are destined to be condemned by the Supreme Lord. Such persons cannot have the perfection which is meant for the human life. The human life is especially meant for purifying one's existence. A one who does not follow the rules and regulations cannot purify himself, nor can he attain the real stage of happiness. Yah shastra vidhim utsrija vartate kama karataha nasa siddhim avapnoti nasukham naparam gatim. He who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. Bhagavad Gita is well known as a philosophical treatise. Often people, at least in the modern age, people who think of philosophy, which is not very many, but those who do, they tend to think of philosophy as simply an intellectual activity. And people who don't think of philosophy, or who somehow or other come in contact with that word, they tend to think of philosophy as just some intellectual, just waste of time. Just, that's for people who are not very serious about anything. Although actually those persons who are actually interested in philosophy, they're the ones who are serious. But for persons whose unthought of philosophy, you know, everyone has a philosophy, Shraddhamayo Yang Purusha, everyone has some kind of outlook or worldview, even if they don't formulate it. Everyone has some kind of outlook. So for most people, it's, yeah, if you stop and ask them, they say, well, live your life, live a good life, be happy, and simply sitting around and thinking, why is everything, what is everything, how is it, well, how is everything, that's all right, because that's considered science. With science, you can make the world a better place. Philosophy is not very highly regarded. And those who are interested in philosophy, mostly it's considered some intellectual speculation. But in the Vedic context, and actually within any truly religious context, it's not enough simply to think about some, actually outside the Vedic context, there's not that much philosophizing. Well, there has been. But in some, most people are not very philosophical. I must have heard hundreds of lectures in my Catholic upbringing. I don't think there's any philosophy anywhere ever there. No philosophy at all. So, it's not enough simply to take Bhagavad Gita as, well, it's very inspiring philosophy, but and shapes my life. But there's, one has to follow the Shastra Vidhi also, the rules and regulations of scripture. This is an important instruction. It's simply to discuss and think about and the cosmic teachings of Krishna. And Krishna also says here that there are rules and regulations of Shastra to follow. I was especially inspired to speak on this subject because it was brought to my attention that a certain young woman who has a political position in America is publicly extolling the Bhagavad Gita, but also she openly supports the woman's right to choice about whether she should have an abortion or not if she's pregnant. And she also supports that gay, what they call marriage, gay marriage, that means marriage between male and male and between female and female, human beings, supposed to be human beings, should be allowed by law. Which are against, both of these activities are against the scriptural injunctions, not only of the Vedic scriptural injunctions, but any religion. Except maybe if you take voodoo or Satanism, if you want to include that in religion, but any religion that claims to believe in God or to have a moral basis will proscribe, that means not allow, abortion. And I don't think anyone even thought of it until recent times, the idea of gay marriage. Even when these gay rights was all beginning in the West in the 1970s maybe, even at that time they didn't think of gay marriage. That came up later. So this is the half a chicken approach. That ardha kokotina. You take out of Shastra what you like, and what you don't like, you don't bother. But here, Krishna says, he who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. Maybe they'll take up the issue, well, it says he, but this is a she, so doesn't apply. But it's nasa, saha. Saha means he or she. And in the English language, until a few years ago, when he was stated, it was understood to mean she also in most cases, but nowadays it's become politicized. And so how can one claim to be a follower of Bhagavad Gita and think that Bhagavad Gita is something very good and promoted, and at the same time promote acts which are not only against Shastra, but which are grossly sinful. Against Shastra, yeah, abortion. In modern Indian languages, the word for that is used for abortion is garbhapat, which is, I don't know in Tamil, but in North Indian languages that are derived primarily from Sanskrit, with no Lord Shiva or Agastya in between. So, garbhapat actually means miscarriage. That's the translation. Falling from the womb literally means. The Shastric word for abortion is Bhrun Hatya, murder of the embryo. But they don't use that word. They use this euphemistic term. Euphemistic means they say something in a roundabout way to make it sound somewhat better. Just like abortion in English is sometimes called, used to be called pregnancy termination. They probably came up with some even more sophisticated euphemism. Removing the tissue, that's it. Removing the fetal tissue. Even they don't use the word fetal. Removing tissue. Unwanted tissue, like a tumor. Sounds like you're doing removing a tumor or something like that. As for gay marriage, I don't know of any specific prohibition of it in Shastra. And like I said, I don't think anyone even thought about it until these people in the 1970s, a lot of people took all kinds of LSD and all this kind of thing, and it gave them, opened their minds to new dimensions, and consciousness expanding drugs, they called it. And in Shastra, the Vivaha Sanskar or Vivaha Yajna, marriage, is extensively described, and it's always between a man and a woman. Never between a man and a man and a woman. It's just not possible or thinkable. It doesn't work. So these are acts that are against Shastra, that are against Bhagavad Gita. So how can someone who claims to be inspired by Bhagavad Gita promote such grossly sinful activities? And another question comes, why do our supposed to be devotees promote that this young woman is promoting this and saying, oh, she's promoting Bhagavad Gita? She's not. But the argument is given, well, we always used to promote Bhagavad Gita, that we used to quote Gandhi whenever I feel darkness in my life and I feel no way forward, I open the Bhagavad Gita. I'm paraphrasing. I open the Bhagavad Gita and again I find some light. And other people, we used to quote Emerson and Thoreau. How do you pronounce that? Thoreau? Thoreau. Who outside of America, no one cares for them also, which is also true of a congresswoman from Hawaii. No one cares for them. Who cares for them outside of America anyway? It's just like if you go to America and talk to the average person about Jayalalitha or Karunanidhi. No idea. No, I never heard of them. Or even for that matter, L.K. Advani or Narendra Modi. Who knows? Who cares? So, where was I? It is a somewhat different situation because one fact of the world that we live in, well, particularly in America, there is what is going on, the culture wars, between, broadly speaking, mostly what are called right-wing Christians on one side, who are against abortion, gay marriage, who want prayer to be allowed in school, who want that creationism be taught in schools. In other words, that the universe was created. It didn't come into being by chance. And not only the universe, but life forms, they were created. And on the other side, there is the rest, who they are against creationism being taught in schools. That's one of the major issues. And abortion is another, who say you should allow abortion, and you should allow gay rights. So, by endorsing this young woman who supports these things, these issues are such big issues that every politician in America has to put on their website which side of the fence they stand on. They're not just some kind of trivial issues. They're issues that people feel very strongly about and are very cognizant of. And that's why every politician, they have to put on their website what their position is on these issues. And people, they will look at that and choose how to vote largely based on people's positions. People do have positions. That's why it's called cultural wars. Some people are very strongly against abortion and some are very strongly for it. What should our position be? It should be very clear. We can't support abortion. We're very strongly against it. It's horrible. It's extremely sinful. The most amazing thing to me is that it's women who are pressing for it. We don't really want to think about how the demoniac mind works, but you might consider that a man in a marriage might want his wife to have an abortion because he thinks it's too much trouble to look after extra children. But that the women, the mother, should want an abortion. But it's the women. You can't imagine because you think the women are going to be... we hear all this stuff about compassionate and loving, and we have to have more prominence for women in society because they have this compassionate, loving, caring, nurturing nature. But they want prominence in society with all their nurturing nature, plus what they call the right to choice. Called the right to choice, those who want abortion allowed, against the right to life. And that's why they call it tissue removal. They say it's not life, it's just some tissue. Science is called to the rescue against the idea that there's actually some living being. It's not living, it's just tissue, they say. Well, if it's just tissue, why does it grow? Like, and how does it, how, if it's just tissue, how does it form into a baby? And why are you so anxious to remove it? Because it forms into a baby, a living baby. Now it's come to the point that because after the, when is it banned? You're not supposed to have after the first trimester or second trimester or whatever. 26 weeks. That's quite formed. So they say after a certain point, you're not allowed. Abortion is allowed up to a certain point. What's the argument? After that point, it becomes a baby or whatever. It's because it's dangerous to the life of the woman or what. It wouldn't be if it was anyway. Caesarean, you could have also, but arbitrarily. So 1 second it's just tissue, and the next second it's a baby. So very illogical ideas. Not even considering what is the nature of life. So now they've come to the point where if it's too late to get an abortion, well, the you can find doctors who will give you a post-delivery abortion. In other words, infanticide. They just kill the baby immediately.
Partial birth
abortion. They mean when it's halfway out, they kill it. Oh, I'm not going to say it. Oh, it's so horrible. Oh, this is going on. Civilization. These are the gifts of Western civilization. Although it's rampant in India. No one seems... In India, there's not even an issue about it. No one's even talking about it. It's the Hindus mostly are doing it. The Muslims and Christians want to have lots of children. So how can this be go on? It's simply horrible. And how can we promote that, yes, this is one of us who's speaking, promoting Bhagavad Gita. And then people will look and see on the website what's up. Then we, oh. So yes, your Bhagavad Gita leads to this. Faith in Bhagavad Gita and inspiration from Bhagavad Gita leads to this. Promoting gay marriage and abortion. Practically, if we so much praise someone, and then we're giving a lot of to a politician in America, we give a lot of credence to them, and that means we are indirectly we support that position, or at least we can say it puts us in a very difficult position if we promote. What is happening? We're saying this young woman was raised as a devotee. Then we practically make her our spokesman, or woman, sorry, for the Bhagavad Gita. She's the most prominent person we're promoting, speaking on Bhagavad Gita, and her position is that she's pro-abortion and pro-gay marriage, and that just pushes in terms of the culture wars, that puts us in the position of supporting these things. People will look and see, oh, you support her, she supports these things. We don't have a position. We're too weak or too weak-minded to have it. We should also have a position. All the churches in America, they all have a position, but we're too weak. We're trying to, what was it, hunt with the hounds and run with the fox, as some say. You want to be on both sides. But we should make it clear what our position is. What is our position? We don't have any position. We're just spiritual. That's nonsense. We should have a position, very clear. We should say we don't agree with. And why? It's very difficult for people to accept this because it's against the injunction of Shastra. That it is a great, there's no doubt it's a very great difficulty in presenting Krishna consciousness in the modern Western world. But that is the task given to us. Srila Prabhupada didn't shy away from speaking about these things. We have to say, there is Shastra. Shastra means that which is given by the Supreme Controller. There are rules. If you break them, then you have to suffer. If we perform an abortion or allow an abortion to be performed on us or allow it in society, then we take part in sinful activities. And there are reactions to that, which we have to suffer. This idea of pro-choice, the woman should have her own choice, it's not allowed. You may say it's a human right. According to Shastra, it's not allowed. You may say it's a human right, but this concept of human rights that we have we have the right to as much sense gratification as we can. And if a pregnancy comes in the way, then just terminate it, that's all. But this is demoniac. The child also has a right. And apart from rights, this idea of promoting the individual, the individual also has a responsibility to the broader society. And women's responsibility is to bear children. This idea that women, they should have all the same facilities as men to become astronauts and soldiers and politicians and firewomen and all this kind of thing. They should also have the right to go to Iraq and kill a few people and have the opportunity to be killed also. No, they have a specific role to play. Everyone is responsible to society. There are Shastra Vidhi which regulate that. So it does go against the whole way of thinking of the whole modern world, and it's a lot easier for us just to say chant Hare Krishna, be happy, and that's as far as our preaching goes. But or to not get involved in these social issues. But ultimately you can't avoid them. We have to, by avoiding taking a position, then we compromise by failing to state that what is going on in the world is all wrong and sinful. Then we, by default, we come to the position of monam sammati lakshanam. Silence means consent. So we have to preach our philosophy. We have to give our philosophy means what Krishna gives. There are rules and regulations. If we don't follow them, then we become implicated in the results. We may say, well, the poor girl, she's not in a position to look after the child properly, then she shouldn't be having sex. What about rape? These are difficult questions. What about incest, incestual rape? These are difficult questions, no doubt. But at the same time, we have to see that there are rules and regulations of Shastra, and they are there, and we have to follow them for our best advantage. We may say that the girl, she didn't want the pregnancy, she was raped. But nevertheless, that is a living being, which is... You didn't want it, but there's a living being in your womb, and if you abort, then you become guilty of bhrunhatya, murder of the embryo. So you say, well, that's very unfair. It's very hard on the girls. It may be, but the system to protect against this is a whole social system, a completely different social system. A social system that promotes women as completely free to do anything they like and go around deliberately dressing in a manner that is meant to provoke men's sexual tendencies. That they should mix freely with men, that pornography is promoted we can say hard and soft pornography, because even most or many of the advertisements are actually pornographic. It may not be extremely gross, but it's gross enough. It's you using the woman's body to attract people to the product, the advertisement for the product that's being promoted. So in this kind of society, we can expect that there will be lots of rape. So if we say no abortion under any circumstances, it's murder, then you may say, well, that's going to be very hard on the girls, but then it's going to create a situation in which girls are going to be hopefully more careful about, and their parents are going to be more careful about letting them go out at night. Actually, it's a whole completely different approach to life and to society. More the traditional approach that was there in all traditional societies. Actually, the question of abortion, it is a major question, but it cannot be properly tackled outside the overarching major issue. What is the direction of human society anyway? The whole society is completely off course. It's completely sick. This should be examined. We should say this. Our devotees should be out there saying these things. People shouldn't think that we're just... Mostly people in America don't know us. And if they know us, they think we're some people who jump around and sing and it's nice fun, or vegetarians. But they don't know. We have a very serious message that is... meant for the uplift of human society. And it's very good message for everyone. And we have to show that also by establishing communities whereby people can live according to these Vedic principles. So, if we don't do our job of establishing communities in which devotees show how living in Krishna consciousness according to Krishna's directions, which are not given much here in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is more philosophical. It's a summary of the philosophical principles, and the rules and regulations for governing human society are given. Obviously, that's in much more detail, and that's to be found elsewhere. But Krishna here indicates that this should be followed. So, we have to do our job of showing that there is an alternative to this demoniac way of life. That Krishna's directions work. And we should preach that. If we don't establish such societies, and if we don't, then it becomes difficult for us to preach these things. Because if we don't take shelter of devotional communities, then we have to take shelter even for our basic human necessities of food, clothing, and shelter, roti, kapra, makan, as it's said in Hindi. If we don't have an arrangement, a social arrangement is required. If we don't have that in Krishna consciousness, then we have to take shelter of the demoniac society, which the people who live in it, they don't think it's demoniac, they think it's very good. They think it's just the way things should be. And it's so much the way that things should be that if some people elsewhere don't live like this, we are morally justified in invading their country, bombing them and killing them just to give them the gift of democracy. We usually do that to countries with oil, but the real reason is that we want to civilize them and allow their women to wear nail polish, which they're not allowed to in some countries. That's a good reason to invade them. So we can sell them nail polish and everything else. You got lost there. This might be beyond the average thought processes of the average Tamil person. But then these discussions, this is Raja Vidya, this Imang Vivasvate Yogam, this yoga, this knowledge was actually meant for people governing societies, given to them by, taught to them by Brahmins, or in the case of Vivasvana and Arjuna, taught to them by Krishna, who is Brahma himself, Param Brahma. So these are questions that, these are issues that we, Srila Prabhupada, wanted his disciples to give this spiritual guidance to human society. That's why he wanted to create a class of brahmanas. Not so that someone could join this movement and, I'm already initiated, I joined 6 months ago, I got initiated, and then I got another 6 months, it's time for me to be a Brahmin, put a string on my shoulder. But one is supposed, next verse, tasmat shastra pramanam te karya karya vyavastito yat va shastra vidhanoktam karya karma iharhasi. One should know, therefore one should know what the shastric directions are and act accordingly in this world. So one is supposed to know these things and to be able to give direction. And Brahmin means he should live. He should an acharya. He should live, teach by example and by instruction, practice and precept, both. So this is what our movement is, a major function of our movement is for establishing Vedic society, sane society. As Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport, he uses the word sane. Where is that? In other words, a living entity, in the human form of life, a living entity is expected to be sane. So gay marriage is not sane. Abortion is, and to follow the regulations given for elevating his life to the highest platform. That is not going to happen if we endorse grossly sinful activities. What will happen if one does not follow them? Then he degrades himself. So it's just completely contradictory to say, yes, we promote Bhagavad Gita, and we also promote abortion and gay marriage. It's completely contradictory and hypocritical. If you know what's in Bhagavad Gita, if you say you promote Bhagavad Gita, then you should know what's in it. And this is what's in it. This verse is a call to understand the whole body, or to know the whole body of Vedic directions for human society. So, Ekam Shastram Deviki Putra Gitam. One Shastra is Deviki Putra Gita. In other words, Bhagavad Gita. But that doesn't mean that all the other Shastras are thrown out, because Bhagavad Gita, here in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself says that Gyatva Shastra, Gyatva Shastra Vidhanoktam, one should know what is spoken in Shastra, the regulations as given in Shastra, one should know. And then not to be, if you say Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam, that doesn't mean you discard others, because Krishna says here, Ya Shastra Vidhim Utsrija, those who do discard it, Nasa Siddhim Avapnoti Nasukam Naparam Gatim, they can't get any benefit in life, neither in this world or in the next. So these are all extremely serious subjects, which we as a movement should consider this very deeply. And certainly I went to that ISKCON News website, and they have an article on the glories of Brussels sprouts. What's that ISKCON News? Brussels sprouts is like a little cabbage. It's about this size. What's this ISKCON? Is this what we have to give to the world? The glories of how eating Brussels sprouts is good for health. What's this? There's another article promoting veganism and saying drinking milk is bad for you. This is nonsense. It's completely against the teachings of Gita and teachings of Krishna, the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. We should be clear on this. That's why we should always emphasize, study Srila Prabhupada's books, understand what's in them. It's not enough simply to say, I'm a member of ISKCON. We should know what Prabhupada said. And we should know that it's just the nature of any religious movement, or whatever you want to call it, that after the Acharya comes, people, they misinterpret what he says. It happened even to Krishna, it happened even to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After they came, they taught, and then people took their teaching in the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They did so many bogus things. So we should, that's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he pointed out this Au Bao, Karta Bhaja, Nera, Sai, Smarta, all these Saki Beki, Chura Dhari, Goranga Nagari, all these upper sampradaya. They may say they're following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they're not. They're simply taking his name and misusing it for their own sense gratificatory purposes. So in the same way, someone may say Bhagavad Gita or Prabhupada, but or ISKCON, but that doesn't mean that they're actually in the line which Srila Prabhupada gave. So we have to see very carefully. We have to understand, according to Shastra. Shastra is given to us by Srila Prabhupada. So, Hare Krishna. Any questions, thoughts? Yeah, please. Do we have another mic for this? No. Okay. All right. I'll repeat. Yeah, but I'll repeat it for the recording.
So, the Catholic Church is against abortion. Let's take the point of abortion. Catholics are against it. The Pope is against it. But the Catholics have groups that are called Catholics for Reproductive Rights.
Okay, I'll repeat that. The Roman Catholic Church, which is the largest religious denomination in the world, has more members than any other religious group. Officially, it's against abortion. Although the present Pope has given some indication that he might be thinking about relaxing it. The two previous popes to him would not have approved of that at all. But there is a group of Catholics called, they've formed a group called Catholics for Reproductive Rights, which means abortion and contraception, I guess. They don't accept what the Catholic Church teaches, but they want to call themselves Catholics.
And that's what you're speaking about now. We have this Tulsi Mataji, born in the devotee family, who is basically...
She wasn't actually born in ISKCON. She was born in this Siddha Swarupananda, whatever.
So anyway, she's basically like the Catholic Virgin. This is the Hare Krishna's for reproductive rights.
Hare Krishna's for reproductive rights. But I'm afraid that this is going to go mainstream, because feminism and more or less compromise with all the values of Western society is already more or less mainstream in ISKCON. We don't officially give our position on anything because we're trying to keep everyone in.
Inclusive.
Yeah, it's inclusive. So we don't announce our position, but practically speaking, our movement has adopted, to a large extent, a modern Western liberal outlook. And with that comes abortion. And as I said here some 2 or 3 years ago, and everyone laughed, but I wasn't joking, that I think it's only a matter of time, and it may not be very long before we see the first Bhaktivedanta abortion clinic. I just think it's a matter of time. We're promoting hospital, and I believe that, according to some state laws, that if a woman comes to a hospital and you can't deny her an abortion, so it will come. Because if we're not clear on these issues, and the whole society around us, they have a certain way of thinking, then our devotees, they will tend toward that. Just like in ISKCON today, we're not clear that we don't approve of the homosex act. We don't hate homosexuals, but the act of homosexuality is illicit sex. Any sexual act that is not for the sake of reproduction of children, that is sinful. So the homosexual act is sinful. If we don't like to talk about these things, but the greater society does. The kids at school are taught that it's all okay, and if you say anything against it, then you are liable to be arrested. In England, at least, I'm probably in many states in America also. Yeah, if you even speak against it. I remember I arrived in London once, and there were posters everywhere warning people that if you say anything racist or homophobic remarks, you can be arrested.
That's true in Canada also.
It's true in Canada. Not in any of the states of America. You're allowed to speak against it. It'll come, yeah. So, with this general atmosphere that's been produced, that homosexuality is okay and to be against it is wrong, and if we don't oppose that, at least within our own movement, then people who join it, who have these attitudes, that gay rights is natural and it's good, and we don't speak against it, then they'll remain thinking that. And then it comes, if they ever get to read Prabhupada's books, which they're not much encouraged to do, and they find statements by Srila Prabhupada against that, then that's all explained away. That, you see, anyway, I don't even want to say how they explain it away. But, and we often hear, it often happens to me that I say, well, Prabhupada said this, 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 and that, and the devotee comes back, well, my guru says this, 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 and that, as if their guru is a greater authority than Prabhupada. The only qualification to be a guru in ISKCON is that you repeat and you follow what Prabhupada said, and you live it. And if you want to give a different opinion, then you should go and start your own movement. Do your own thing. Don't take Prabhupada's name and Bhagavad Gita's name. But people don't. They don't want to. They want to take the advantages of Prabhupada's preaching and preach something else, such as the glories of Brussels sprouts. Now we have discovered, after much theological study and introspection, we have finally understood that Srila Prabhupada was sent by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to this world to broadcast to every living entity in every town and village of the world the glories of Brussels sprouts. Yes. It's right there on ISKCON News. The health benefits of Brussels sprouts. Pathetic, isn't it? How insipid this great movement and great teachings, and it's come down to the glories of Brussels sprouts. Don't drink milk. bogus, isn't it? Completely bogus. Yeah, you wanted to, yeah, you finished what you had to say then. I'm sure you got plenty to say, but your wife there has also got something to say.
If we say that there is nothing actually in the scriptures against it, except that Krishna and Bhagavad Gita says that any act of sex which is not against religious principles is myself. How can we be clear about what is not himself?
How can we be clear what is licit sex and illicit sex? And how effective will it be preaching against homosexuality? Well, we don't really have to go on a campaign against homosexuality. We shouldn't be indifferent to it also, because there is a massive campaign for it, and we should be clear what our position is. It's not that we have to become obsessed with it. There are many other issues also, such as, everything in society needs overhauling. That's the word that Srila Prabhupada used. But we should be clear on these issues. How can we know what is illicit sex? Well, one thing is, we can take from our acharya. One thing is to study all the scriptures, and there should be pundits who do that. But not every devotee can do that, and that's why you have a guru who's supposed to embody all the shastras. What the guru gives is that's understood to be the summation of all the shastras. And if we look in the shastras, we'll certainly find. I mean, the very fact that sexual activity is meant for reproduction only, that immediately rules out homosexual activity. So we can say, and if people don't like, what can we do? We can't change the philosophy because the people in the world don't like it. Then why are we in this movement? Then just go and, go and get a job and drink beer and watch football games on TV. Yeah, if you, then what are we doing in this movement? And why are we saying that we follow Bhagavad Gita? It is a great challenge. There's no doubt that it's a great challenge to be a member of this movement. And people will say you're stupid because they're brainwashed into thinking that living a sinful life is the way we should live. But we should be very clear. This is the age of Kali, in which truth is taken as wrong, and what is wrong, sinfulness, that is taken as very good. So how effective it will be? It might be very effective to spread Krishna consciousness that's the supposition, if we avoid all these issues. Although I don't see that our movement is really doing that well in the West by avoiding all these issues. In India, our movement is increasing in numbers and prestige, and we have many temples and all this kind of thing. But we're also not addressing the issues. And as I see it, we are creating a lot of neophyte devotees who don't have a strong grounding in Srila Prabhupada's teachings. One reason why the movement is growing widely in India is due to a deliberate misrepresentation of the philosophy, saying that to have a good career is your devotional service, so that people can be materialistic devotees, which means, all right, their life is better than it was before. But by cultivating the anarthas of desiring to be so-called successful in material life, then their path to pure devotional service is blocked. So I don't think we're doing so good actually anyway. It's a heavy proposal, just like for Arjuna. It's very heavy, very, very heavy to accept Krishna's words. It is for every one of us. It's a very heavy proposal. We don't say that everyone has to come and join our movement, but we're preaching Krishna consciousness. We want people to join, but we're not preaching like Christians or Muslims or something. We're just trying to increase the numbers, and we're not too much concerned with numbers. Well, even we're not too much concerned. Well, some of them preach like, I mean, they don't have many principles to follow, but we do. No tea or coffee, it might seem to be just, why so strict? What's the harm of a little tea or coffee? But that attachment to a little tea or coffee will block our way back to Godhead. Maybe a minor thing, but we can't offer it to Krishna. Krishna doesn't drink tea or coffee, so it's against the devotional principles. People who are sincere, they will appreciate, they'll take to it. We can be lenient with devotees who are struggling with the principles. We don't want to be just dismissive and rejecting everyone because they find it difficult to follow, but at the same time we can't incorporate it as a principle that what is wrong is right. That's extremely dangerous. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Hare Krishna.